on tonight's show. It's our NBA Cup special.
Greer putting the ball on a play. He gets it out. Deep and Havlicek steals it. Over his back row. Havlicek's all over. It's all over.
The Milwaukee Bucks win the 2024 NBA Cup. Hats off to the Thunder. They played well despite the loss. Are we actually going back to normal after this? And much more to come. Welcome back to the Crossover Across Time podcast for NBA Cup Special, our second episode here tonight on December 18th of 2024. First of all, I'm your host, Karsten Kiel. Welcome to the show and or welcome back to the show, both previous listeners and brand new listeners alike. Thank you for tuning in. We really can't thank you enough for your support on the show. Yes, it's going to be a very brief episode. We'll talk about the semifinal games, both semifinal games, as well as the championship game. Again, congratulations to the Bucks for beating the Oklahoma City Thunder in the final. But how did we get there? Let's go ahead and just jump right into that, starting with the first of the semifinal games this past Saturday. The Milwaukee Bucks, your one seed out of the East, hosting the three seed Atlanta Hawks, of course, who had upset the New York Knicks to get to Vegas. But of course, the Bucks got the win in this one. Final score 110-101. Bucks closed the game on a 14-7 run to help them advance to the Cup final. Credit to Trae Young here, first of all. He had a league-leading 19th double-double in this game, 35 points and 10 assists, and it's only the Hawks' second loss in their last nine games. Again, they can still feel pretty good about themselves after this NBA Cup performance. Their big games, especially on the Cup stage, have helped kind of fuel their strong play in recent weeks as they've become a pretty solid team right at the top of that play-in picture in the Eastern Conference, just below the Bucks. So it was a fairly close comparison between those two teams. It was really kind of anyone's game, but of course credit to the Bucks as well. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard combined for 57 points in the game. What's more, Giannis had his 100th career game with 30 or more points, 10 or more rebounds on over 60% shooting. He joins Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the only Bucks to have that many or more such career games for the Bucks. And you talk about teams surging. The Bucks, of course, they were 2-8 at one point in the season, and that's been a recurring theme and recurring talking point over the last week, especially with this Cup championship. But in their last 15 games, the Bucks 12-3 in that time. It's the first time a team has gone 2-8 or worse through the first 10 games of the season and then win the 12 of their next 15 games. First time that's ever happened in NBA history. So the Bucks deserve a lot of credit for tightening the screws, figuring out how to start winning again. Let's dive into some box score particulars. Firstly, for the Bucks, we talked about Trae Young, very efficient shooting. He had 7 boards as well. He was 14-17 from the free throw line. He really had a game, but it seemed like the Bucks were, as far as defensive strategy, saying, let's let Trae Young beat us and limit what other people do, because of course the Hawks have thrived when Trae Young gets other people involved. He still had 10 assists, but he's had much higher assist games, and other guys weren't as big a factor. Jalen Johnson, the next leading scorer, with only 15 points. DeAndre Hunter, 15 points off the bench, still effective. Excuse me. But not as big of games as they've had previously. 11 points for Dyson Daniels, 10 off the bench for Bogdan Bogdanovic. The team still shot pretty efficiently from three, just about 42% from three, but only 42% from the floor overall. So they're able to limit some of those other non-three-point opportunities in terms of effectiveness. Jalen Johnson also with 10 boards in the game. Four blocks for Clint Capela. So there were some nice nuggets here for these these Hawks players. But again, Bucks deserve much more of the credit. 32 points, 14 boards, and 9 assists for Giannis for the near triple-double. Excuse me, apologize. 4 blocks and a steal for him as well. We know how impressive he can be defensively. But how about his free throw shooting in this game? 12 of 18 from the free throw line in this game, along with 10 of 15 from the floor. I mean, can't get much better than that, much more impressive than that, the two phrases there I combined. Lillard with 25 points, 7 assists, and 6 boards, also 3 steals. So really those two guys, we've talked about it in this recent run, those two playing like the all-time greats that they kind of are. Certainly two of the greatest players of the last 20 years. And outside of that, they got 16 from Brook Lopez, 10 from Bobby Portis, and that was it. But that was enough, you know. And, of course, when it's just Giannis, that's a lot to worry about. But when it's just Giannis and Lillard, A, for other teams, that's even tougher to guard. But B, for the Bucks, that's more manageable to be able to distribute that workload between the two. You still would like to have more. And I'm not saying other guys are just not contributing. They're just expecting more of the workload, the shots, and so, you know, so on and so forth to come from those two guys specifically. But Lopez still solid with 16. He had 2 blocks as well, 2 of 5 from 3, and then 10 from Bobby Portis off the bench, as we mentioned. Just great team production. They also got 9 points off the bench from AJ Green, who was 3 of 6 from 3. Great win for the Bucks. Again, that advanced them to the finals. Let's get into the game that decided who they would face, that Western Conference matchup. Firstly, the 1-seed Oklahoma City Thunder as a designated home team against the 2-seed Houston Rockets. Of course, Thunder, convincing win against the Mavericks. Rockets, it was a close one against the Warriors. And not that the Rockets didn't deserve to be here, but the Thunder showcased why they were a 1-seed, getting a pretty handy victory. 111-96, your final score there. It was a battle of the two best defensive teams in the league, but Thunder really clamping down on the Rockets much more so than the Rockets clamped down on the Thunder. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in particular had 20 points in the second half alone, and also alongside him, Isaiah Hartenstein, Jalen Williams, that's of course Santa Clara Jalen Williams, and Luguentz Dort. Those three players combined for 60 points alongside SGA's, I think he finished with, 32? So very well-distributed scoring, and a lot of scoring in total for the Thunder to get this win. OKC became the first team in the West to reach 20 wins this season with that victory. Of course, semifinal games count towards regular season standings and records and so on. The only game that doesn't count towards regular season numbers is the championship game itself. And of course, we'll get to that in just a moment. Diving into the box scores here, we'll start with the Rockets. They had 6 players in double figures. No one with more than 19. That was Amen Thompson off the bench, actually, with the 19 points, along with 7 boards, 3 steals. He's been one of their more valuable players in terms of his defensive impact. They got 14 from both Dylan Brooks and Jabari Smith Jr. Jabari Smith with 6 boards, a steal, and a block as well. Alperen Şengün really limited in this game, 13 points and 11 boards, along with 2 steals. Of course, the Thunder, we know that their front court can be very good and is even better when they have Chet Holmgren, of course, who's still out for a very long time. But Hartenstein in there, he was one of the big free agent acquisitions for a big reason. You know, he can be effective as a big man alongside, you know, Williams is technically the forward there who can be effective defensively. So game plan worked for him there. They also got 12 points off the bench from Terry Eason. But yeah, Rockets held below 37% shooting from the floor and below 24% from three. Tough to win games when you're shooting like that. And they still scored 96 points, so you got to give them credit there. But the Thunder, yeah, 45% from the floor, 36% from three. How about the free throw as well? Rockets shot 60% from the free throw line. Thunder shot 87% with a handful of more attempts. So those are big difference makers, those overall shooting percentages. I mean, that's just indicators for how the game as a whole went. SGA, 32 points, 8 boards, 6 assists, and 5 steals. We talked about it on the first episode today. Those 5 steals, one of the more impressive things. He's a great two-way guard. Part of his weekly MVP win right around the time of this game and near after when Week 8 ended. Excuse me. Just can't seem to get my throat clear. And then, yeah, Hartenstein with 21, Williams with 20, Dort with 19, Dort also with 9 boards, 3 steals, Hartenstein with 8 boards and a block. Not a ton of scoring outside of those guys, but again, they didn't necessarily need it as they got the win, convincing win, and that advanced the Thunder to the Cup Championship. And here we go. The breakdown for that game, Bucks ended up winning it by a fairly handy score, but it was close at various points. Final score 97-81 for the Bucks, technically the designated road team here, despite them being undefeated and the Thunder having a loss in group play. Forget the exact dynamics of how that works, but regardless, Bucks win by 16, win their Cup Championship here. Giannis with the triple-double, 26 points, 19 rebounds, and 10 assists. Milwaukee ended up outscoring the Thunder 46-31 in the second half to clinch the Cup. Again, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo named your Cup MVP. And he did a lot of that in the third quarter. Well, maybe not a lot, but it was really impressive. Perhaps the final statement, his third quarter, Giannis had 12 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block in just that quarter alone. And then as far as the team performance, the Bucks defense held OKC to a season low in points. So it was a team game, of course, Giannis leading the way, and it was especially impressive with no Chris Middleton in this game. Again, back and forth affair, handful of lead changes through the first half, but then that third quarter, blew the lead up into double digits, and then they expanded that lead even further in the fourth quarter. Box scores for you here. We'll start with the Thunder. They were led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 21 points, 4 boards, 2 steals, 2 assists. Percentage is not great. He shot 33% from the floor on 8 of 24 shooting, 2 of 9 from 3 for 22%. Just not in a great rhythm, and perhaps you credit the Bucks defense as well for that type of performance. They got 18 points from Jalen Williams. Again, Santa Clara Jalen Williams. 3 blocks, 2 steals, 4 boards, 3 assists. Getting the stat sheet stuff there, but not as much scoring as maybe you'd like to see if SGA is not scoring a lot himself. 16 points, 12 boards for Isaiah Hartenstein, so he still was effective in the game, but no other double-figure scores for them. And then for the Bucks, we mentioned Giannis's big game. He also had 3 blocks, 2 steals, efficient shooting, and then Lillard, 23 points, 4 boards, 4 assists. He was 5 of 10 from 3, 50% from both the floor and 3, and 6 of 7 from the free throw line. Two other guys in double figures, Brook Lopez had 13, Gary Trent Jr. off the bench had 13, he was 3 of 6 from 3, Lopez also with 9 boards and a steal and a block. Defensive battle, neither team scored 100 points, and of course Thunder held to just 81, but the Bucks able to get the second half run. Giannis controlled the third quarter, and that really was the story of the victory. And again, credit to them, credit to the Thunder, great run. And at this point in the year, the Thunder are the better team. You take a finals matchup, if that was to be the case, I don't think that's super likely, but a Bucks Thunder finals right now at this point in the year, Thunder would, you would think win that series. Perhaps the Holmgren injury would impact that. But of course, performance-wise, Thunder, 20 wins. Bucks just starting to finally move back up in that Eastern Conference. They're up to fifth or sixth still, but, I don't think it's quite the comparison. But of course, the whole point of the Cup and the group play and knockout rounds and this whole NBA Cup experience is to give some excitement in the schedule at this time of year. But of course, also give teams a chance to taste a bit of a playoff type atmosphere, young teams to have, bright moments, and for teams to break through and have Cinderella runs and have excitement for fan bases. Because, you know that for longer stretches, there are, a bottom third of teams in the NBA that know that they're not going to be in any real playoff contention, or maybe even not really in a play-in mix. You have a lot of fan bases that are going to know for at least this moment and maybe for a bit that they're not doing that well. But the Cup can change that. You win a handful of games and suddenly you can have an exciting, bright spot even if your season as a whole is a struggle. And so, we reach the conclusion here now, the second running of this NBA Cup. It seems like it's going to be a big enough success to probably stay for at least a little while. I think it's been fun. I understand some of the fan derision around the value of the Cup and Cup MVP and things of that nature. But, you know, for now, it's here. We have a couple of Cup champions, some teams that have won it, some MVPs. And, you know, it's fun. I think there's a lot of fun to it. Again, it definitely does enhance the schedule at this point in the year. Just went to see if we had Cup or all, you know, tournament teams, all knockout round teams named yet, the best players from those. Doesn't look like we have it yet. Again, Giannis the MVP of the Cup, but it looks like we'll have to wait a little bit for that news to come through. So with that, that's our NBA Cup coverage and our special. Again, very brief, but what next? Again, in the opener we talked about, is it kind of back to normal? Well, we'll have one non-Cup related item here, and it's actually a news item going forward related to the All-Star weekend this year, of course, because that's kind of the next point on the calendar outside of the Christmas Day games and some of the New Year stuff. The NBA All-Star break, again, this year it's in San Francisco Bay Area. Golden State Warriors, your host team here for this year's All-Star game and All-Star weekend. here's the update. News, we talked about the potential changing of the format once again, and it's official. They will do it, a new format again this year. for the first time, the NBA All-Star game will feature a mini tournament with four teams of eight players. I'm reading this directly from NBA's Starting Five newsletter. There will be two semifinal matchups with the winners moving on to the championship game. For each game, the winner will be the first team to reach or surpass 40 points. The 24 NBA All-Stars will be divided evenly into three teams, with the rosters drafted by TNT's Inside the NBA commentators Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and Kenny Smith, who will serve as honorary team GMs. That All-Star draft will happen live on TNT on Thursday, February 6th. And then that fourth team will be the winner of the Rising Stars game, which has a similar format and has had that format for a few seasons now. And that one will be led by TNT analyst also, and of course the WNBA legend Candace Parker, as their honorary GM. Voting process, of course, for the All-Stars is the same. The starters, five players as selected as starters, are 50% fan vote, 25% current players, and 25% media panel. And then the reserves are selected by the head coaches of the NBA. And then the coaches of each team in the East and West are selected for based on the leading team in each conference as of February 2nd. One last note here, of course, NBA All-Star voting opens on Thursday, December 19th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and concludes on Monday, January 20th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, giving fans a chance to vote for the NBA All-Star Game starters via the NBA app, NBA.com, with their NBA ID, NBA, NBA. So that is our last update. A lot of people have a lot of derision about this change in the format. Frankly, I would be one as well. You know, I think it's one thing for the Rising Stars game to have it. It's a fairly new institution, you know, as far as a rookie challenge or a rookie sophomore game. They didn't do one until the mid-90s, and I think they maybe did it a handful of times and then didn't do it until bringing it back within the last 20 years. And, you know, the All-Star game is something different. That's something that's been played since the 50s, mid-50s, I believe, was around the time of the first NBA All-Star game. And up until recently, it was a pretty competitive affair. And, of course, even as late as the early 2000s, it was very competitive. And, of course, we know why they are making changes, because it's not competitive. They returned to a traditional format last year, and it was the least interesting All-Star game that maybe has ever been played in the NBA's history. Adam Silver was clearly very infuriated, maybe infuriated strong, but very disappointed and upset with the spectacle they put on, breaking the scoring records, no defense being played whatsoever. And so they want to make a change, and I'm not sure that this is the way to do it. I would think that you've got to incentivize it in some sort of different way, because, you know, you're just changing the teams. Instead of being East, it's a team arbitrarily, not arbitrarily, but, you know, selected by some sort of outside figure, even if he's a former player. You know, how does that really incentivize it more? You know, I would think perhaps one of the things is, as the emphasis on conference has decreased, maybe this has been a factor, and maybe I'm spitballing here, but winning your division used to mean a little bit more. Conferences were perhaps more tightly knit, and there was pride in coming out of the West, coming out of the East, what different conferences had in different regions. You know, maybe that's part of it. But it's really tough to say exactly what the situation is and the reason for it. But the end result is they have this new format. We'll see how it turns out. And, of course, that will be the next big storyline. All-star voting, who's an all-star this year, as well as the Christmas Day games and the holiday festivities. So with that, that takes care of our NBA Cup special. Again, thank you for listening. We can't thank you enough for your support and listening to the show and your patience with us this week, again, as we had some scheduling issues and didn't exactly communicate that super well. Our next episodes, of course, will be on Friday. We have a normal Friday episode along with a bonus franchise focus, so stay tuned for that. But otherwise, until then, thank you again, and we will be back with you then.